Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Psalm 23, so you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and the preacher is Anthony Blake, a member of Eagle Hawk Presbyterian. So let's read Psalm 23. And then we'll go to the sermon. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
It is an honor to be able to stand up here and to be able to share God's word with you. But we'll start with a prayer and then we'll dive straight into Psalm 23. Good gracious God, thank you that we can all come together and share this time under your word. I pray that you would give me the right words to say to help this to be enlightening and inviting and enticing. I pray that you give everyone eyes to see and ears to hear as we lift up our hearts to you. Amen. So firstly, for those that don't know who I am, my name's Anthony. I think I know most of you, so that's pretty good. Hopefully we'll get a chance to chat afterwards if I haven't already met you, but that's okay. We can do that over coffee later. But let's start thinking about Psalm 23. So a couple of years ago, I went to the Lost Trades Fair. It was amazing. I highly recommend going. You get to see all these lost skills on display. Stonemasons, blacksmiths, sword makers, and they're all toiling away at their craft. But the one that fascinated me was the roof thatcher. This is a job I never even thought about. It's not something that you would see in Australia and not something we would have done here. And it truly is a lost trade. I sat and watched this guy for over an hour as he thatched this fake roof that he had set up. And then he said, doing this was not even a job. It was something you would do yourself on your own home. That's the equivalent of tiling your own roof. I don't even like getting on ladders to check my gutters, let alone getting up and putting tiles on my roof. That's a common skill from a very different time. The shepherd is a role that has gone the same way. A very common skill that is no longer around. Modern farming has all but killed off the need for a shepherd, in the Western world in particular. We combine the new grazing rules and regulations. The role of the shepherd is extinct in Australia. But when David wrote this psalm, approximately 1,000 years before Christ, the shepherd was a massive part of the community. David himself was a shepherd. And so it does make sense that he would craft this psalm using his experience, knowledge, and understanding. But it's all shared knowledge, shared experience, and shared understanding. Psalm 23 is about David and his relationship with his shepherd. It speaks about the good times in verses 1 to 3 and about the uncertain future in verses 4 to 6. My eye he, may, me, sorry, I can't even read. They're all key words in this psalm. And it shows that David is talking about himself and his relationship. And that's a relationship that he has with God. This is personal for David. And he understands his position in that relationship. He is a sheep. He was a shepherd, but in this relationship, he understands and knows that he is a sheep. And so our first point is called the sheep. And it covers verses 1 to 3. David starts verse 1 saying, I shall not want. And then in verse 2 gives the sheepy examples. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The basic wants in life. Without a shepherd, sheep would not find either of these things. They would not find food and they would not find water. They will look, but they are more likely to wander aimlessly than find anything nourishing. I was at the Sheep and Wool Show last year, and speaking to a sheep farmer, he told me something I didn't quite understand. Sheep are really, really dumb. Sheep cannot look after themselves. I don't just mean they can't protect themselves from predators, which they can't. But what I mean is without a shepherd, they would struggle to meet their everyday needs. They struggle to search for water and often end up in dams and stuck. And if feed isn't provided for them, they probably won't find anything, or they will eat whatever they do find, even if they know it's not good for them. This is why in David's time, you could not own sheep without having someone look after them. And often, it was a member of the family. As we saw with David himself, the youngest male was often tasked with this role. Now, hence why, if we look back in Samuel 1, chapter 16, when Samuel was looking at the children of Jesse, David wasn't even thought of until afterwards. Verse 11, then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes. Now they may not have been able to sit down for days, because being a shepherd in those times meant being a long way from home. But obviously, they don't mention that in Samuel. So we know and we understand that the shepherd's job is to guide and to ensure the health of the flock. Verse 3 talks about that in a different way. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes fresh water and good food is not enough. Sometimes we need something more, something spiritual. For some, it is singing your favorite hymn. Others, it might be reading the Bible. And others yet, it might be listening to your favorite preacher or sermon. Hopefully it's me. It might even be just coming to church on a Sunday. Whatever it is, sometimes we just need our soul refreshed. Sometimes we just need to hit pause on life, refocus, restore, and refresh our soul. And David said that David says that God not only leads him to do this, but he does it for his name's sake. He does it because not only is it the right way, but it leads us back to his flock. Now, all of these things are great. God the shepherd leads us, he protects us, and he restores us. David is trying to show that he is more than just a person who looks after sheep, like you and I. He is a shepherd. He cares for the flock. There is love at the core of it. It is not just God saying, go over here. No, it's God leading us to still water. He takes us to green pastures, not rubbish, barren fields or hilly terrain with no grass. You can see that David feels the love from God in a way that the shepherd cares for the flock. God cares for his flock. The next section, verses 4 to 6, is called the shepherd. And that's because there is a tone shift in verse 4. The psalm goes from talking about God and what he's done to talking to God and what David anticipates from him. He goes from talking to the sheep to talking to the shepherd directly. Now, to start, I want to walk through verse 4 in parts. So that's what we're going to do. But don't worry, we'll do it together. Even though I walk, David has straight away put himself in the position of the sheep. I am walking. I am being led. I am going somewhere. It talks of an adventure, but it's all downhill from there. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this paints a pretty bleak picture. And it's a picture that shows that David is going through a dark place. He is struggling. Now, even though my research suggests David is still king when this psalm was written. So he was still king when this psalm was written. But the walls are closing in. He's feeling the pressure. You can't be at a high point in life and be in a metaphorical valley. Generally, valleys are dark, cold, lowly places. Many years ago, when I was a fit young man, believe it or not, I got talked into trying canyoning. Canyoning is when you follow a river system or a stream through a valley. So we followed this little stream through the Blue Mountains. It was about 10 kilometres of walking, wading, swimming, all through this valley. We jumped off waterfalls, we climbed over rocks, we had to duck under trees. But on either side were massive hills and overgrown trees everywhere, and there was a clear lack of sunlight. Even in the middle of the day, it was difficult to see where we were going. And when we finally did emerge at the other end, it took a long time for our eyes to adjust to the brightness. David is in that valley. So David is going through something. He's walking through it currently. And it contains the shadow of death. It's not death itself, but it is the lingering shadows and tendrils of death creeping out towards him. But I will fear no evil. Even though he's going through this valley, going through and being chased by these shadows of death, he knows he is protected by the shepherd. He's not saying the evil is completely gone. No, no, no. He's still in the valley, but he will not fear it. I was once told you can't show courage without having fear. That is where David is at. But his courage comes from God, from his shepherd. And to emphasize this point, the next line, for you are with me. God the shepherd there, right beside him, as he heads through the deep, dark valley. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, these are two staples for all shepherds. The rod was generally a little baseball bat type weapon, and that was designed for dealing with predators like wolves or big cats. Whereas the staff was more likely the big hooked stick that we see with pictures of little Bo Peep. And that was used more for guiding and correcting and dragging sheep back into the herd, and sorry, the flock. David is taking comfort in knowing that his shepherd has the power to deal with his enemies with the rod and will continue to guide and instruct him with the staff. And then verse 5 shows David looking forward to food and rest. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. By saying table, David gives the impression of a big, hearty, sit-down meal. And by saying you prepare, he indicates that not only is God doing it, God had the foresight to do it. And yes, David is still going through that deep, dark valley. Hence, the meal will be in the presence of his enemies. But there is no fear from David, only rest. He is refreshed by the oil anointing his head and full with the comfort from an overfull cup. And this is all reflected in the next verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He knew that his host wanted him to be comfortable and safe, both right then and into the future. The word for mercy is also translated as steadfast love elsewhere in the Bible. So he knows that the goodness and steadfast love of God will be with him forever. You see, it's not about the meal. It's about whose table he's sharing. In David's time, the sharing of a meal and the sharing of someone's table was about creating a bond of loyalty. It could be seen as a sign of joining and coming together and being united. So to be at God's table and to share his meal means a lot more than delicious food and a great spread. David shows this. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David is showing that although he is currently going through some uncertainty and some tough times, he has the utmost confidence in God for the future. He knows God cares for his flock. David has seen the good times and anticipates a bright future. It's almost like he is able to look forward through time and have confidence in God's love. In the future, in here and now, all because of the love he's been shown in the past. To David, God has already demonstrated his love for him over and over. But for us, in the here and now, the best demonstration of his love happened 1,000 years after this psalm was written. David's whole psalm can be summed up. It talks about God's love and protection. And John wraps that up in one verse. One verse, arguably the most famous verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, John and David are looking at the same event from opposite sides in time. David doesn't realize he's looking forward to the greatest demonstration of love. But John did, and we should too. John can clearly see a connection between between what David is talking about and the leading, protecting, and restoring work of Christ. Jesus himself connects his life to this psalm in John chapter 10. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. And then in verses 14 and 15, he goes a bit further. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." See, the cross is the glorious, wondrous event where God showed his great love and protection for all of us. Jesus stood and protected his flock, laying down his life for the sheep. He took our punishment and gave us life. He fulfills verse 6 of this psalm. He is the goodness and mercy that follows us the rest of our days. He's the reason we will be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so all of David's words ring true. The Good Shepherd leads us in the good times, guides us through the difficult times, and protects us to the end. God cares for his flock. In the New Testament, Paul also says as much in Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." By having confidence and faith in Christ, like David did with God, we can be assured that the Good Shepherd will care for us. It may not always be comfortable and easy. David had some hard stuff to go through. But by putting our faith in Christ, we can be confident in his love for us. And if we have any doubt, we should think about David and John and turn our eyes towards the cross and the best demonstration of love ever shown. God cares for his flock. But let's not forget, this whole psalm was personal for David. It was written by a guy who knew and understood his relationship with God, and he understood his place in that relationship. Like you and I, he was a sheep. We are the sheep that Jesus said he would lay down his life for in John chapter 10, which he did at the cross. And if we're sheep like David, shouldn't we follow the example he sets out in this psalm? Shouldn't we be more willing to praise God for the good things that he gives us? They might not always be big things. They might be little things, like finding shade on a hot day. But they might be massive things, like the arrival of a new baby into the family. We should be praising God for those things. Praising God helps us to trust God. And the more we trust God in the good times, the easier it is to trust God in the hard times, in the dark times. This psalm says there will be tough times. David tells us that. He's in a valley followed by the shadow of death. But he still has faith and trusts, and we should too. It doesn't mean because we're going through tough times, it doesn't mean God doesn't love us. He still loves us. And we can be sure of that because we can look back at the greatest, most glorious event that shows his love for us. We can look back at the cross. We can catch a glimpse of just how big and how far he's willing to go to show his love for us. So we can have those green pastures and those still waters. We can have the comfort and the confidence in the dark times and the hard times. And we can look forward to the table prepared for us and sit comfortably, knowing that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because God cares for his flock. Let's pray. Glorious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good times, all the good things that you give us, the green grass and the beautiful sunshine and the refreshing rains that follow. And we pray that you would continue to watch over us, not just in these good times, but in the dark times too. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for loving us so deep and so much that you sent your only Son when we needed him most. And by doing so, showing and demonstrating your steadfast love for us. May you continue to lead us, guide us, and restore us when we need it. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.